anything about Phelan in that area in Southeast Texas, the kind of Golden Triangle, the Phelan family is quite well known, quite entrenched in that area. There are streets and buildings and everything named after that family. But David Covey really gave Dade Phelan a run for his money and has forced him to a runoff. Actually, David Covey came in first place in that race, and the early numbers showed him beating him, beating Dade Phelan outright, but forced him to a runoff.
Hello, TFVC. This is Rebecca Hardy, president of Texans for Vaccine Choice, and our political director, Michelle Evans. Welcome to a special edition of TFVC Shot Callers, where we are going to recap the primary election results from Tuesday night. So I am going to go off outline to so that we are not burying the headline here. And I know that Michelle is not appreciating me right now, but I am going to go for it. So you know what? I'm just going to pull seniority here. And that is that our very own TFEC political director, Michelle Evans, won her election resoundingly last night at, what was it? I saw 68%, nearly 70%, was it?
69%. That's fine.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Nearly 70%. I would like to introduce the new Williamson County GOP chairwoman, Michelle Evans. So, yay, Michelle.
First female Wilco GOP chair in history.
Woo. Congratulations. I know.
If that matters to anybody.
Wilco is the Wilco GOP is in very good hands with you, Michelle. So, congratulations from all of us at Team TFEC. I'm so thrilled to see you going beyond just being a you know, activist or a, I don't know. I know lobbyist can be a dirty word, but it's not a dirty word if you're lobbying for the good, right? And actually put your name on the ballot, went out there and you won, and your victory was decisive. So well done. Way to be an example to activists across the state.
I'm not sure what I got myself into, but here we go.
Like I said last night, I said, just be good.
Yes. And really, really grateful for the TFEC volunteers who stepped up and block walked and poll greeted for me. So TFEC universe, you guys are great. Thank you very much. So let's move on. Move
past this. Yes. Well, like I said, we weren't going to bury that headline. We needed to have a good little victory moment for you. All right. Where do you want to go first? Do we want to talk about Prop 8?
Yeah. So that's kind of the more like meat and potatoes stuff. It's not nearly as sexy as some of the other big wins that we had. But we did put out an op-ed and a blog post about Proposition Number 8 on the Republican primary ballot, which basically
recognizes.
Oh, go ahead.
The state of Texas should ensure that Texans are free to give or to withhold consent for any vaccine without coercion.
Right. So it's sort of a word salad.
Yeah.
But it's a nice flowery way of saying you should be able to choose which vaccines you get without, you know, being forced to do so. And I think out of 13, that was the third highest positive vote, yes vote. So that is a resounding message to the Republican Party of Texas to strengthen its platform in recognition of vaccine choice, which sort of dovetails into what's coming up next, the precinct conventions, the resolutions that you can find on our website, become a delegate, go to convention, et cetera. There's some information on that on our website, and we've sent out a couple of emails as well. So we would love for you to participate in that process.
Yes. And I just want to make it clear that passed. Okay. Well, first let's kind of talk about propositions kind of high level. And unlike in other states where ballot propositions have like the weight of law or policy or have some sort of legislative implication in Texas, these ballot propositions are more like just a poll of the primary voters, survey, if you will. And so while they are, it's a great opportunity to take kind of the temperature of primary voters on where they fall on certain issues. I just want to make sure that everybody knows this is not some like, you know, policy change maker situation here, but it is still very good. Like Michelle said, this goes towards informing the platform and such at the RPT convention in May in San Antonio. And it passed with nearly 92%, which, like Michelle said, was the third highest vote getter of all 13 props, which is just tremendous. If you had told me that this was going to be a ballot proposition on the Republican primary ballot, you know, 4 years ago or 6 years ago, I would have just laughed. And yet here we are. And I think it just goes to show just how much headway we have made as a movement here in Texas.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so one thing that we don't really get into on a regular basis at TFEC, because most of our focus is on state level and some local or federal races, but we did, and we did this for federal all the way down to local, we did for the first time in a while vetted recommendations, meaning that it was a higher barrier of entry to get into our voter guide. We didn't just recommend anybody that signed a pledge. We actually had them fill out a survey. And in some instances, I then followed up with a phone call or email. So we vetted some candidates in federal races for congressional and U.S. Senate seats. And we had some big wins, the most obvious of which was Ted Cruz. And that was kind of like a, you know, no duh kind of pick. That was a no brainer. But there were some open seats where we made recommendations. CD 26, is that right?
Yes.
And CD 12. And where one of our recommended candidates won outright, the other is going to a runoff. And I want people to understand that a runoff is essentially a win, because even if that person does not make it through the runoff and ultimately win, they have pushed hard. And in cases where you're going up against an incumbent, you're really sending a message to that incumbent that they can't take their seat for granted. So Brandon Gill won outright, and John O'Shea is taking Craig Goldman, who was predicted by most people to just win outright, is taking Craig Goldman to a runoff in CD 12.
And I want to highlight just how significant this CD 26 win by Brandon Gill is, because this was an open seat within an 11-way primary.
Yeah.
And for one candidate to win outright, Brandon Gill won outright with 58% of the vote in an 11-way primary. I can't even hardly wrap my brain around the enormity of that victory. So well done, Brandon, and well done, John O'Shea, taking Craig Goldman to a runoff for that CD 12 race.
Yes. All right, and so now we're going to start to unpack start to unpack some of the legislative races. We did make recommendations in a number of races in which the incumbent went unopposed, in Senate and in House. We're going to just kind of gloss over those, because all of those unchallenged candidates won the nomination.
Obviously won. If you were unopposed and recommended by us, guess what? You won.
We got you over the finish line.
It was all us.
There were some very hotly contested races, and all eyes really were on the House this primary season, because it was sort of exposed for how dysfunctional it is compared to the Texas Senate. But we did have one open seat, Senate District 30 in the state Senate, that had four people enter that race, and our recommended candidate, Jace Yarbrough, has forced a runoff with Brent Hagenboo. I believe I'm saying that correctly.
I believe you are.
Yes. So that's big. Brent Hagenboo went in with a lot of endorsements, but Jace Yarbrough really put up a fight, and we are happy to see him in a runoff.
And their vote totals at the end of the night were nearly, I mean, they're very much, very close. They both have about a third of the vote. And so it'll be interesting to see how, if any of the endorsements shake up between now and the runoff election in May. So,
and I guess we need to tell people when the runoff is.
Yes,
so they're May 20th through 24th, and that is the early voting for the runoff, and then election day for the runoff is May 28th, which overlaps with the Republican Party of Texas convention. So that will be really fun. And there are a ton of runoffs across the state. So yes. let's
unpack those
wins.
Yeah, let's unpack the wins, and then we'll go circle back with the runoffs. Okay, some of our wins. Let me have it.
Okay, my favorite. You know that this is my favorite. Mitch Little, the joyful warrior that he is, House District 65. So Mitch Little came in guns blazing right off of an impeachment acquittal for AG Paxton. He was one of the defense attorneys in that case. And he really saw, you know, with his own eyes what's happening in Austin and felt called to run for House District 65. When I went to sleep last night, he was down. Yeah. I woke up to the most amazing text message from a friend that said Mitch won, and I was just so elated. So that is my big fish. What was yours?
Ooh, well, it's
a win, not a runoff.
Oh, a win, not a runoff.
You have to pick a favorite.
I have to pick a favorite. Okay, hold on. Let me check my list right quick. You caught me. Okay, my favorite big win is Mike Alcott in HD 63. Fair. It is, right? HD 60. No.
60.
HD 60. Mike Alcott. That was another like just resounding victory against incumbent Glenn Rogers, who is no friend to vaccine choice and your medical liberty. Mike Alcott isn't just a friend to this fight. He has literally been in the trenches helping us along the way with time, treasure, and talent. And so, Mike, I just want to say on behalf of the entire team at TFEC, congratulations. We are excited about having a true fighter in HD 60 to come alongside us and advance the cause of medical liberty in Texas.
Yeah, very excited for that. And now we'll just kind of go in numerical order. I think that's the easiest way to do it. So probably the craziest race, it was like a never ending race, was
HD2.
The representative that was in that seat was expelled last year. And so there was a special election followed by a special election runoff followed by the primary last night. So Jill Dutton won the special election runoff at the end of January, was sworn in a couple of weeks ago, and then had to run in the primary against the same person, Brent Money, who we recommended. And then last night she lost resoundingly to Brent Money. So that was kind of exciting. She'll have a very short tenure in office. But that was big. He won 57%. The next is a champion, a longtime champion for Texans for Vaccine Choice, Steve Toth in HD 15 in the Woodlands Conroe area, was challenged by Skeeter Hubert and won. That was one that we
and
had
didn't
our eyes
just
on
win.
He won. Big.
He won with 66%, and this was a race that, you know, they threw. I mean, he was out money raised by, yeah, I don't know, 3-1 at least. And yeah, everybody in that district, I mean, Steve Toth is loved across the state. Yeah. And he was the only, he was one of the few champions, a TFEC champions that drew a challenger. And we are so thankful that the voters spoke and that Steve Toth is very, very safe and will be returning to Austin. So congratulations, yeah, Steve Toth.
And dovetailing off of that, so I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because we had another champion who was, yes, challenged, and she put up quite a fight, the challenger. But Briscoe Kane in HD 128 was challenged by Bianca Gracia, who was in Latinas for Trump. So she had some name recognition, but Briscoe was elected with a lot of help from TFEC grassroots supporters many years ago, and has been a steadfast supporter of the movement and has helped us even as recently as the third special session of 2023. So we are extremely happy to see that he won also a big, big victory there in the Houston-ish area, Baytown. Yes. So going back, we have our first incumbent to topple. Well, I guess second if you're counting Jill Dutton, but big incumbent to topple was Ernest Bales. We recommended Janice Holt, who is a longtime grassroots activist, in that race, and she won 53% to 39%. And let me kind of underscore how big it is to defeat an incumbent. It is extremely difficult. Typically, incumbents have like a 90% win rate because they have name recognition, they have money, they have the support of their colleagues. Lobbyist money just flows in. So to topple an incumbent is amazing. And Ernest Bales has kind of just been bleh. Like, he has not ever come out strong for us. He has never come out strong against us. He just kind of doesn't do anything.
We are very thrilled that Janice, she sought out our recommendation and she's ready to go. And we're thrilled with that one. All right. Here's the big one. Yes. Michelle.
A lot of eyes.
Another big one. HD21. Yeah. What's significant about HD21? I forget. Remind me.
So HD21 is where our Speaker of the House is. So that's Dade Phelan's district. And obviously, there have been a lot of headlines. There's been a lot of words exchanged. Dade Phelan is quite a topic of conversation across the board. So if you know anything about Phelan in that area in Southeast Texas, the kind of Golden Triangle, the Phelan family is quite well known, quite entrenched in that area. There are streets and buildings and everything named after that family. But David Covey really gave Dade Phelan a run for his money and has forced him to a runoff. Actually, David Covey came in first place in that race, and the early numbers showed him beating Dade Phelan outright, but forced him to a runoff, which is huge. So it'll be David Covey and Dade Phelan in a runoff in May for HD21. And if Dade Phelan goes, then it's just kind of, it's open season for the speaker position. Huge.
Well, and I know there's already been quite a bit of chatter on social media that regardless of who wins this runoff, nobody sees a path to Dade continuing his reign as Speaker of the Texas House. So that's an interesting take and one I think I agree with, but it'll be interesting to see how this evolves. And like you said, it was a 46% Covey to Phelan's 43. So he's going into that in the lead. And this really was another one of those races where Covey was outspent. I mean, I don't even know. Last I saw, 30 days ago, I think Phelan had already spent well over $1 million. So it was interesting. It'll be interesting to see the numbers in the last 30 days of this race, just how much he was outspent and still came out in the number one spot for that runoff. Okay, let's move on to HD26.
Yeah, this is probably the most surprising margin of victory for me for the night. So Matt Morgan was the challenger to JC Jaton. JC's served, I think, two terms in the House. This is in Fort Bend County. And Matt Morgan jumped in pretty early and knocked a ton of doors, tons of doors. Like, you cannot overstate how important it is to have that direct voter contact. And he really focused his energy on that. And he won 54% to Jaton's 39%. And that was a three-way race. So for him to get 54% is huge. So that's another incumbent gone.
Yes. And like I have a good friend who always says, doors win wars. And this is a very good example of doors winning wars. You've got to get out and talk to the voters. Okay. HD30.
That was an open seat, and we recommended AJ Lauterbach. He got 40% of the vote, and Jeff Bocknight got 42. So that also will be going to a runoff in May.
Right, and this is one of those races where I can't remember who all voted, endorsed Bakhtin and who all endorsed Lauterbach, but all signs point to either one of those being an improvement over the incumbent that retired, Jeanne Morrison. So, okay, HD33.
Yeah. Ooh, lots of drama in this one. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. The incumbent here is Justin Holland. And because of his stances in other policy areas, he's been, his challenger, Katrina Pearson, has been endorsed by many, many statewide officials. She is forcing him to a runoff. She actually came in first place with 39.5% and Justin Holland, 38.8%. We recommended her. We're extremely happy to see that. Another incumbent, HD 44, John Kempel, who is just, like, I think he's a C or a D at best on our scorecard, was challenged by Alan Schoolcraft, whom we recommended, and Alan actually came in first place. So that will also go to a runoff. I'll let you take the wheel for HD 53.
All right, HD 53. You know, this race is special to me just because my mom has a, we call it the farm, but it, there's no animals, but 11 acres in Llano, which is in the HD 53 area. And I was recently down there during early voting. And it was so funny because my social media immediately started getting all these, you know, geolocation ads for Wes Verdell. And I texted him and I was like, Wes, I love whatever you're doing, keep it up, because my social media cannot deny that, that you are doing all the things. And so, Wes Verdell, again, out money raised, outspent, but came out just significantly victorious last night with a 60% win over Hatch Smith. And this is another candidate who has been in the trenches with TFEC for years. And we're so thrilled to see him heading to the Texas House.
Yes. You're going to see sort of a pattern here where it's the grassroots activists are really making quite an impact on these primary elections. All right, so HD 58, we have another incumbent who is Dwayne Burns, being challenged by Helen Kerwin, who we recommended. Helen has been a longtime grassroots activist. Her daughter, Brooke Rollins, has been involved with the America First Policy Institute, as well as Texas Public Policy Foundation. So she's well-known, she's endorsed by many statewide officials and has forced a long-time incumbent into a runoff. She actually got first place with 49%. Dwayne Burns got 41%. We already went over HD 60 with Mike Olcott beating Glenn Rogers, just trouncing him makes me very happy. And Glenn Rogers' caps lock will be forever engaged. HD 61. So
this is special.
This was a four-way race, right?
I think just three.
So we actually did a dual recommendation in this race because Carissa Richardson and Chuck Branch both are would be a huge improvement over the incumbent Frederick Frazier. Carissa came in first place and has forced Frazier to a runoff. She got 40%. He got 32%. So we're really happy to see that. That's actually, like we said before, a runoff is a huge get for a challenger going up against an incumbent. HD 62 makes me happy as well.
My girls always laugh at me about my ability to make a heart. So just know that that's what I meant to do there. Yeah, anyway,
you did it. It's not the new heart.
It's not the new heart. I can't do that. My fingers don't do that. But I was about to say, you be showing me up. HD 62. You know, listen, Reggie Smith, the incumbent, is a very nice man and he's a wonderful man. We, like we've said from day one, is that TFEC supporters demand fighters. We are not, the days of just being a good little button pusher are over. We are up against ridiculous medical tyranny and three-letter agencies that are completely ready to just take over every aspect of your life. We need fighters if COVID taught us anything. And Shelley Luther has the track record to do exactly that. She stood up against the lockdowns. She is just, her bona fides are very long. And we are so thankful that not only did she continue to be in the arena, but let's just be clear. She had this major medical event last year. She was, all signs pointed to her dying,
being sidelined,
or being a vegetable. That's what every doctor was telling her husband. If she survives, she will be a vegetable. Not only is she alive, but she is more fired up and ready to go. I mean, the miracle that is this woman, I just get chill bumps even thinking about it. God has his hand on Shelley Luther, clearly. And we're just so, so celebrate. We're celebrating with you today, Shelley, in your defeat of Reggie Smith.
Her perseverance is admirable because she ran against Reggie Smith 4 years ago, and then 2 years ago ran against, she ran for state Senate. She did not win either of those elections, but continued on and kept fighting. And that's, you know, one of the reasons that we love her so much. So congratulations, Shelley Luther. Can't wait to see you at the back mic. HD63, Ben Bungarner, like the nicest man at the Capitol, truly, truly like the nicest guy there, has our magnet on his fridge. He's just a really good guy. He won pretty handily, 59% for his reelection. Andy Hopper in HD64, hat tip to Sam doing the studio today, but... So Andy, again, perseverance. He has run before for this seat, and he actually came in first place in the primary. So he's forced Dr. Lynn Stuckey, a veterinarian, into a runoff. Stuckey got 43%. That was a three-way race. So super happy to see Andy advance to a runoff and Andy getting first place. We went over HD65. Woohoo! Okay, HD91, I'm going to let you take that because you volunteered for that campaign.
I did. You know, I finished Tuesday. I was at three or four different counties. I kind of lost track, but I finished the day poll green for David Lowe in HD91, just down the road from me. And it was, this is a race that is just really important. And you know, Stephanie Click, the incumbent, is the chairwoman of public health, and she used to be just a real good fighter for us. And then this past session or two, she has really kind of been the chokehold on a lot of these vaccine bills that she just sat on, either completely killed by not advancing them or just slow walked them. And again, like I said previously, our supporters are wanting fighters. There is no reason why we could not have gotten, you know, the Senate did its job last session. It sent over a dozen bills to the House where they systematically killed most of them in the Public Health Committee. And so if we can get, again, a fighter in David Lowe in that seat, it would advance the cause of medical liberty in Texas. And he challenged Representative Click last time, forced her into a runoff and came up short 2 years ago. But here we are again. 2 years ago, there were 1,300 votes separating them going into the runoff. This go around, there's about 300 votes separating them. And so that, again, to what Michelle said earlier, a runoff in many instances is considered a victory. So well done, David, there.
Yeah. HD 114, currently it's a Democrat incumbent. Previously, the reason that this is so near and dear to us is this is where TFBC started. HD 114 was the home of Jason Bialba, who wrote the bill that got us out our doors and at the Capitol. It's now John Bryant, a Democrat, in that seat. And we recommended Amy Ramsey in the primary. She won. So that's amazing. HD 121, also near and dear to our hearts because the challenger to incumbent Steve Allison is Mark LaHood. Mark LaHood's brother, Nico, was the Bexar County District Attorney for a while, and he kind of garnered headlines when he got onto the vaxxed bus and talked about the vaccine injury that they experienced in their family. So Mark LaHood, his brother, has taken out an incumbent. Steve Allison, again, is just one of those like D, C at best legislators, not a champion by any stretch of the imagination. And we are excited to see Mark LaHood, somebody who has firsthand knowledge of what mandates could do to a family, win in House District 121 in the San Antonio area.
Yeah, and that was a three-way race, and he won outright. So well done, Mark LaHood. We look forward to working with you. All right, and we already talked about Briscoe Kane as well and his win. So that is tremendous. Do we need to unpack some of these local races? Or,
you know, I kind of want to just do a quick overview because we, you know, in the wake of COVID, we kind of understood that these local races can be really important for vaccine choice or medical liberty, because it was on the sheriffs and the county commissioners to institute these policies and then
the county judges.
County judges.
We all learned what a county judge was during COVID.
like it or not. And then for these county chair positions, last year we had several county executive committees pass the resolution that we drafted to compel Governor Greg Abbott to call a third special session for medical liberty for to end COVID vaccine mandates. And he did so in response to that effort. So having a really strong county chair is extremely important. So in Wise County, we recommended Carrie Malema. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
For sheriff.
For Wise County Sheriff. And he is advancing to a runoff. So that's fantastic news. In Hamilton County, my friend Joelle actually ran unopposed for county chairwoman, and she won. So congratulations to her. We recommended her.
And in Williamson County, again, Michelle Evans, new Williamson County GOP chairwoman. And let's not forget Alan Evans. Let's be clear, when anybody is on the ballot, their spouse is on the ballot too, because I mean, the number of stories that I have heard from Michelle talking about Alan and his T-post and the 4x4s and putting out all the signs. I mean, Alan, well done. Well done, Alan Evans. And he was on the ballot too for precinct chair, and he won. And we actually had another precinct chair in Williamson County fill out and be vetted by us with our candidate survey, and he won. And I'm only highlighting this race because he won his precinct chair race by four votes. So this is your reminder that every vote counts. Don't sit these elections out. We have a whole precinct chair that won for four votes. And Michelle told me that 2 years ago, he won by three votes. So when we say every vote counts, every vote counts. Well done, Mike Sanders, for increasing your lead by one vote.
And now in Montgomery County, that's kind of a stronghold for us. And I love it. There are some really active medical liberty proponents in Montgomery County, and many of them asked for recommendations and filled out surveys. So the biggest win we had in MoCo was Steve Toth, but the next is Gwen Withrow, who won for Republican Party chairwoman there. So that's a really good trend. Strong county parties are extremely important. And then we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7
precinct chair wins out of just a small handful that we recommended. And that is just tremendous. I'm so proud of that. And I just want to give a big hat tip to Carrie Bigford, TFEC's outreach director. The reason why we have such a stronghold in Montgomery County is that's Carrie's stomping ground. And when she says that we are going to take Texas for medical liberty community by community, she leads by example. And so big round of applause for Carrie Bigford and really leading by example there in MoCo. So
that pretty much wraps it up. I mean, we had an unprecedented number of people ask for recommendations. We gave out an unprecedented number of recommendations. Our voter guide was chock full. So people were informed going to the polls, and we had just a mind-blowing number of wins and runoffs. So
I had a
extremely happy today.
Yes, I had a TFVC supporter texting me this morning, was like, wins, losses. And I was like, it looks like we're going to have, you know, lots of reinforcements for our champions, tons more runoffs for, so there's potential for even more wins. And she said, is this normal? And I said, oh, no. We're usually like over the moon if we get one or two like big wins or scalps, if you will. And to have, maybe that was a little violent. It's fine. It's a figurative, using the word figuratively, let's be clear. And so to have this many in the win column, truly, I mean, I feel like during COVID we had overused the word unprecedented, but this is an actual good use of that word. And it was a big win for medical liberty in Texas Tuesday night.
And just so we don't gloss over three of the uncontested races in the House, we will still have champions Tony Tenderholt, Brian Harrison, and Nate Schatzlein. We're just sending them a cavalry. So super happy with the outcomes last night. Really excited going into the runoffs, kind of anxiety inducing because it's at the same time as the convention, but it's fine. We'll get through it. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yes. But this is your reminder to engage in every single election. Every vote counts. And I don't know how to say that enough times. But please, if you live in any of the districts where there is a runoff, please help a candidate that has been recommended by TFVC get to the polls, poll greet, block walk, make calls, text people, do whatever you can. If you have the time and energy and resources to donate or to come into the district to help out, please do so. It is extremely important that we fill the House with strong champions for medical liberty. So take the information that we've kind of shared with you today, jot it down and figure out where these districts are and see if you can deploy into those districts to help these grassroots champions get over the finish line in May.
And the other thing is that I think it's always super important, especially in these even years where there's just election after election after election, to avoid voter fatigue because, you know, in May we'll have both municipal elections. So you'll have your local elections for, say, school board, city council and such. And then later in May, you may have a runoff that you need to go vote in as well. And then there will be perhaps municipal election runoffs later in the summer. And then, of course, the general election that happens in November. So this is our plea to tell you, please do not get voter fatigue. Your vote counts. If without a vote, you do not have a voice. So be sure you are doing everything that you can to get these candidates over the finish line. And if you are listening and you do not currently get the TFVC emails, we promise we do not spam you. We send out a once a week email that we try to make it count. We make it very meaty. And that is, it's called our TFVC Tuesday. If you do not get that email, go to texansforvaccinechoice.com and click that sign up button at the top, and we will get you going on our I can speak. We're both a little tired. We'll get you going on our email list.
Yeah, it's been like this 2-week early voting plus election day period was like the longest year.
It was
a lot. And the weather extremes, my gosh. Rain, freezing,
sunburns.
I got sunburnt.
Yeah.
So, but yes, please do not suffer from voter fatigue. Every voice counts here. So get yourself out, get to the polls, get to knocking doors, do what TFVC supporters do best, which is engage at the grassroots level and support our champions.
All right. I hope you've enjoyed this 2024 primary recap episode of TFVC Shock Callers, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Shock Callers podcast. Please, if you found value in this content, rate us and share the podcast with a friend. It's a great way to get the message out and to empower everyone to make informed decisions. Until next time, never forget We are the Shot Callers.